All right. Now, number four, Tuesday edition of Bickley and Murata, live from the Ok Chin Community Studios. Tomorrow's a big day for Deadpool fans. A new version of Deadpool is going to hit theaters. A PG-13 version of Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. My 9-year-old cannot wait.
Yeah. You'll let him go?
Of course I will.
Did he see the other one?
Of course he hasn't.
Well, one of the men responsible for writing the Deadpool movies and Super Sons fan, Rhett Reese, joins us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. What's up, Rhett?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. We have been driving a wedge between parents and their 9-year-old kids for the last couple of years, so we're trying to get past that now.
Yeah, that is outstanding. So how did the remake work, in your honest opinion?
It's great. I mean, it's not a different movie. This is Deadpool 2. It is a PG-13 version. We've got about 12 or 13 minutes of new footage, largely a Princess Bride-style framing device wraparound with Fred Savage, where Deadpool reads Fred Savage a story a la Peter Falk and the Princess Bride. So it's not a brand new movie, but there's a lot of fun stuff in there. And for kids that age, it really, really works.
Yeah, and I saw the trailer when it came out with Fred Savage and Ryan Reynolds in it, and I laughed throughout the whole thing. The whole idea of it is just so funny. I can't wait to see the new cut.
Fred kills it, too. There are very few guys who've been able to go toe-to-toe with Ryan Reynolds, and Fred is actually one of them. It was really fun to watch.
Plus, I think since the last time we talked, it became official about, maybe it was before, Zombieland 2?
Zombieland 2 is indeed happening, yeah. It starts shooting in January. It'll come out in October. It's all the original actors. Save Bill Murray, who lost his life, sadly, in the first movie. Spoiler alert. But, we couldn't be more excited. We're very, very thrilled.
Yeah, lots of exciting stuff going on.
Well,
Rhett Reese, definitely.
And also, the Pirates of the Caribbean story. I've got to ask you about this. I know Jared has shared with you what a dork I am about that franchise.
You're a deep diver, no pun intended. Look, we're going to do our best not to screw it up. That's all I'll say.
That's a good goal to have.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure you'll be real good at it.
Yeah, we're going to set the bar low. It's a thrilling franchise.
Yeah.
And, some people feel like it may have, if not run its course, at least gotten a little stale. So we're going to try to
Certainly.
Inject a little more new life, new blood into it.
Now, I know you got to be careful with this stuff, but Rhett, could you characterize maybe your vision for where you can take it? Because, jumping the shark has come to kind of light of day with that franchise.
Yeah, we're only going to use pirate metaphors. We've used diving and jumping the shark. So I will just say that it's we're trying to do, if not the Deadpool version, at least the punk rock version of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Nice.
And so the task will be not to stray too far from what made you and other people love it, but also, chart a little new territory. There I go again with the chart.
Charting,
sorry.
Right, exactly.
Nobody
right.
said walk the plank yet.
Well, you've got your compass
out. That's still out there.
And your compass works. So, so I get it. All right, there we go.
Rhett Reese, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. As a screenwriter, and since you're undertaking this Pirates of the Caribbean thing, what is more challenging? Is it recapturing the magic of an original in a sequel, which you've had success with? Or is it kind of a reimagining of an established franchise?
I like an original idea best of all because there's no pressure. I mean, sometimes I feel like, our job is sort of a nervous breakdown with a paycheck. You get people with expectations. They start to own these movies. They start to feel like the movies are theirs. And then they become all the more discerning and kind of angry if you screw them up. So these are not, the most fun of movies to write, but at the same time, they're the most common jobs in our town. People love franchise studios, love franchises, people love franchises. So you definitely have to work them in among the other screenwriting jobs that you do.
Yeah. Now, so screenwriting obviously takes a lot of stuff like vision, imagination, great writing, all that stuff. How do you find romance and poetry in Arizona sports?
Boy, these days it's a true tragedy. I mean, it's like Shakespearean almost. I watch every Suns game, and my impression of me watching a Suns game is Have you ever watched somebody get strangled to death in the movies? Like, where it's like at the beginning, they put up a fight, and they're fighting, and they're trying to grab the guy off their neck, and then they slowly start to lose energy,
yeah,
and fade.
Right.
And then there's that moment where they suddenly get a little more energy, and then they finally fall still. Like, that's me watching a Suns game. Like, it's rough stuff right now.
But and we've had a little bit, we hate the term moral victories, Red, as most Suns fans do, but a little bit of one from last night's performance at least. I mean, considering the way some of these games have gone this year, where there's no fight at all and everybody's talking about effort afterwards, at least last night was a step in the right direction, don't you think?
I loved last night. I love seeing D'Anthony Melton's fire. I thought Ayton came out fired up. Holmes really set the tone. Josh Jackson was lighting it up. Like, yeah, I'm as depressed as I've been, I'm still optimistic about these guys. I think anybody who expected us to start winning this year was definitely drinking Kool-Aid. This team was never going to be great. It's going to be a bumpy road, but I do think if we can just hang in there in a year or two, it's going to be a lot better.
All right, I want to ask you about script writing in this current day, because so many of the releases are the big epic end of the world kind of thing, the Marvel chain, obviously. What is the trick to successful screenwriting in 2018, given what you know about audiences and attention spans and the bar that has been set before you?
Well, I mean, what we try to do is we try to enter a genre and then sort of make fun of it while also being it. So like Zombieland, we entered a genre that was pretty tired zombies, and we kind of made fun of it while we were also still legitimately a zombie movie. We did the same with Deadpool, with superhero movies. We did the same with reality television, with the Joe Schmo Show. So when we're coming into a genre, it's our goal to kind of make fun of it while still being an example of it. And that's the best way I would put it.
And Zombieland 2 is filming right now. Is that correct, Rhett?
Not until January.
Oh, okay.
It starts middle to late January in Atlanta, Georgia.
Look at that. I got inaccurate information from IMDb.
See, and I think you kind of touched on this, too, just about the proprietary effect of it all, the pride that goes into the work and not wanting it to be altered. What happens when you've got a piece of writing that you're particularly proud of and an actor isn't feeling it, or they deviate from script? Where do you go with that?
Well, I mean, in the case of someone like Ryan Reynolds, he's generally elevating it, like he's making it even better. So in that case, you just sit back and take credit for his sense of humor. But in most cases, it is hard to watch, you know, because you're not creating a building, right? You're drawing a blueprint for the building, and then other people come along and build the building. And it's no fun when you show up and the building's a different color and the window's broken. And you know what I mean? Like so you just have to let go a little bit. You have to invest, you have to care. And then at some point you have to stop caring and just let it go.
Rhett Reese, Hollywood screenwriter, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Again, the release of Once Upon a Deadpool to theaters tomorrow, a PG-13 version for the holidays of Deadpool 2 for all the Deadpool fans out there. Are there any more Deadpool movies in the works, at least from an idea standpoint, Rhett?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We plan to continue the franchise. First up will be an X-Force movie, which is the team-up movie that we set up at the end of Deadpool 2. Mm-hmm. And then Deadpool 3 will probably follow that. So it's going to be a bit. We're kind of following the Iron Man Avengers model, where they came back to Iron Man 3 after Avengers had already come out. And I think we'll do that here. So I would say it'll be a few years. This will be the last taste of straight-up Deadpool for a little while.
Gotcha. We got to get back into the sports thing too, because not only are you you're a Valley guy, Suns fan, and we've had the debate on this show, so maybe you can chime in on this. What's been more painful this year, Suns or Cardinals?
I would say the Suns, because I with the Cardinals and with the NFL in particular, I think it's easier to go from worst to first. The Cardinals have shown the ability to do that before, where they jumped into prominence with Kurt Warner and then again with Carson Palmer. So I feel like we're just closer there. Even when we're further away, we're closer. The NBA is something that just feels like it takes years and years to build. It's a process or a timeline or whatever you want to call it. And I just feel like the Suns are just further away. So I feel the pain of the Suns worse.
But you would agree they're both painful.
Oh my God! I mean, this is—I literally, this is the worst time ever in Arizona sports. I can't remember a time when this was, because I'm not really a Coyotes guy. I grew up in Phoenix, so I never played hockey, so it's not really my sport. So between, and then the Diamondbacks, what they're doing, like it's a debacle right now. But you know, we got nowhere to go it up, and I did actually feel optimistic watching that game last night.
Yeah, I was right there along with you. All right, we've played Mock My World with you before. You're game enough
Let's
to do it.
It
again.
I missed it last time.
Yeah, you weren't here. That's right.
Yeah, I know.
We did a movie-themed one.
Me.
Yeah.
Well, not intentionally, Rhett.
He's not ducking you anymore. You ready to give this one a shot, Rhett?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Bickley and Murata. Mock My World.
Are you mocking me? Are you mocking me? Stop it. You just didn't do it again.
All right, when we're lucky enough to have somebody who's in the movie industry and, you know, our love for movies on this show.
Oh, yeah.
We like to keep the Mock My World to a movie theme. So I believe, Rhett, you suggested this one?
Yeah. Favorite quote or line from a movie. I think it's one of the ones we always bandy about out here. So let's bring it to Arizona today.
Yeah, great topic.
And I'm sure you're not at an advantage at all as a guy who's written a lot of these lines.
Well, you know what's funny? Vinny does not like to live in the abstract. So when we get these big, all-encompassing topics, he starts to turtle. So this whole thing about famous movie quotes, there's just too many of him, and his mind is like, help me!
Yeah.
And I can guarantee, like, my favorite movie lines are not the same ones that other people have.
That's right. That's true.
Yeah, I've struggled with that myself today. Yeah. I'm trying to sort of split the difference, because my very favorite lines will not win me the poll.
All
so
right.
I've got to be careful. So anyway.
Be true to yourself is what I say.
But I will.
And remember, this is terrestrial radio and no lines that have swears in them.
Oh, thanks for that reminder, Jarrett. Thank you.
So we have only Once Upon a Deadpool quotes. No Deadpool 2 quotes.
All right, do we have a draft order, Jarrett?
Yes, number one pick, Dan Bickley.
Right. Oh,
Number two, Rhett Reese. Number three, me. Number four, Vince.
All right.
Vince, the defending champion, by the way.
All right, so we will have a four-round snake-style draft. Each of us get four. There we go.
Yeah.
All right, Bick, you got the first pick.
First pick overall, say hello to my little friend.
Oh, wow, you took the words right out of my mouth. That's awesome.
That's a good one.
It's going to be impossible to get the graphic up this week, by the way.
I know. I was thinking about that, how we're going to put this in a poll, but we'll do our best.
Yeah, there's no way you're going to condense it. But, okay, I am going to go with one that actually does have a bad word in it, but I'm not going to say the word. I'm going to go yippee-ki-yay, you know what.
Okay.
That's a good one. Willis from Die Hard.
You could do the one from, I think it was the fourth Die Hard movie, where it was rated PG-13, and they did a gunshot over the line there. So
yeah, there you go.
They're making another Die Hard, if you could believe that.
I know, a prequel.
Wow, that is...
that's because he'll never die.
That is one
it's
franchise
perfect.
That won't die.
Right,
is exactly.
Exactly.
Right.
The prequel to Die Hard is called Ache Hard. Anyway, all right.
You knew this was going to happen, right?
Sorry.
You knew you were going to get worst comedy from Jared in a desperate attempt to kiss your backside so you would hire him somewhere
right,
down
so,
the road.
Speaking of which, no. Okay, so here's... my quote is from... A Few Good Men. You want the truth? You can't handle the truth.
That's great.
Always used, always quoted.
All right.
Yep.
All right, Vince, you got two here.
Oof. Not going to do well this week, I'm just going to say. My first one, I'm going to go Star Wars. May the Force be with you.
It's tough to beat.
Yeah, it is.
And then I'm going to be, I don't know if
Look
I'm going
to
be.
Pick
I'm,
your favorite quotes. It doesn't have to be the best quotes other people think. Which Adam Sandler movie do you want to quote right now? Come on, do it, Vince.
I'll do it. I don't care. Shampoo is better.
There you go.
I go on first and clean the hair.
Oh,
I don't.
Is that what you're going
good.
With?
Yes.
Take it.
Okay. From Billy Madison.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to go with my favorite line. From Caddyshack, probably the movie quoted most on this show.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Exactly. It's going to be, and Wang, this club is restricted. Don't tell him you're Jewish. Okay, fine.
Okay, fine.
You know, I have a take, which is I really hate Caddyshack. That's my
hot
take
my God.
For today.
How?
How you guys like me now?
It's like a bunch of different movies in one, though. So how do you, you don't like any of it? You don't like the Chevy Chase character?
Well,
or
I think what happened was I didn't see it growing up because I wasn't old enough. It was, I think it was rated R. My parents wouldn't let me see it. So I saw it sort of many years later alone in a room at age 30 or something. And I was just like, what is this? This doesn't hold up. It's terrible. So that was my reaction. And I'll stick by it.
Have you rewatched it?
I have not, just okay. That one time. So maybe I need to give it. Maybe I need to give it the.
Yeah, next time you're in town, watch it with Bickley. You'll have a completely different experience. All right, Rhett, your second pick.
All right, I'm going to go. A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some collard beans and a nice Chianti. That's
nice.
A long one.
Can you do the?
That's good. That's second only to. Is she a big fat girl?
Is that your pick?
No, that's not my pick.
Yeah.
That's
fat,
a good pick.
Fat person.
That's a big fat person.
All right, Bick, you got back-to-back picks here.
Okay, I am going to take I Am Groot from the Guardians of the Galaxy.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm
Can
going
you
to
believe, first of all, that Vin Diesel got paid?
Yeah, right.
In multiple movies for that role?
And then from The Godfather, I'm not going to take the one that everyone's going to take. I'm going to take one suggested to me by a listener that is a fabulous movie line. Leave the gun, take the cannoli.
That is a good line. And it makes me hungry.
And so I'm not allowed to go to The Godfather. I could, but that's going to lose me the poll. So is it back to me?
Yes.
Back to you.
Your turn, Rhett.
Okay. I'm going to go with I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Mm-hmm. It smells like victory. That's maybe the it's not there. Just smells like victory. Robert Duvall, tough to beat that.
What have I'd love to hear what you've heard about the filming of that movie. The stories that came out of the actual filming of that is unbelievable.
Unreal. And there's a movie about it called Hearts of Darkness that you should definitely see.
Yeah.
It's a documentary about the making of Apocalypse Now, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about. And it's as entertaining. I'd say it's more entertaining than Apocalypse Now. There are some awesome stories, like Martin Sheen having a heart attack and Francis Ford Coppola ranting to the studio executive over the phone saying, Martin Sheen's not dead until I say he's dead.
That's right. Until I say wow.
All right, Jarrett, your third pick.
All right, I'm going to pick a line from one of my favorite movies. It's the very last line in the entire movie. Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads. From Back to the Future.
It's a good
wow,
one.
Wow, that's okay. Amazing. I couldn't place the movie. I didn't know that.
Neither could I.
I didn't know that line.
It's when he comes back from the future, and he takes Marty and Jennifer to the future. And he goes, Doc, there's not enough road here. Not here!
Yeah, when you have to explain it, you're going to lose the poll.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I got two to end my team. I'm going to go one with Forrest Gump. Life is like a box of chocolates. That whole thing.
Got it.
You never know what you're going to get. And then, wow. I'm gonna pick one. Because the way the line was delivered and the timing of it, I thought was brilliant. And I'm going with when Harry met Sally, I'll have what she's having. That's just a great line.
That's awesome.
That's Carl Reiner, Rob Reiner's mother.
Mom, yeah.
Carl Reiner's wife.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just an amazing, amazing line.
All right, Jarrett.
Okay, bear with me here. My favorite movie, Willy Wonka, You Knew It Was Coming.
Yes.
And it's also near the end of the movie when they ask when Charlie's going to get the chocolate. And he says, he doesn't. And he says, why? He broke the rules. Rules? What rules? We didn't see any rules. And then he goes, wrong, sir. Wrong. Under Section 37B of the contract signed by him, it states quite clearly that all this shall become null and void. And you can clearly read it here yourself in the photostatic copy. If the undersigned shall forfeit the rights, privileges, and license here and here and contend, etc., etc., fax mentis insidium gloria codium, etc., etc., memo bisque pyramid delicatum. You stole fizzy lifting drink. You bumped into the ceilings and walls, which now have to be washed sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
All right, Burns and Gambo up next.
Turn down the nitrous oxide. Jeez.
Yeah, no doubt.
Sorry.
What in the world?
I'm just going to call that Wonka drivel.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
All right, Rhett, your last pick.
Okay, I'm going to go with the line that makes me cry quicker than any line in the history of movies. And it's, you know what, I can barely say it without choking up. That's how much I care about this.
Want to have a catch?
Dad, you want to have a catch. Wow. You got it.
Wow, that's cool.
And by the way, Rhett, the way you feel about Caddyshack,
right.
That's the way I feel about A Field of Dreams.
Oh, no. Come on.
Yeah.
We're going to wrestle. You and I are going to tangle.
Yeah, after my last pick to end this ridiculous competition, maybe you can explain to him your thoughts on Field of Dreams. All right, so it's my last pick, right?
Yes, last pick.
All right, there's so much good stuff out there, but I would be disingenuous if I did not pick a line from Caddyshack. I have to go with this one. We've got a pool and a pond. The pond would be good for you.
Improvised. That whole scene was.
Thank you very little was on the table. The world needs ditch diggers, too. You'll get nothing and like it.
How about a fresco?
How about a fresco? Mm-hmm.
I can't believe
I sent boys younger than you to the gas chamber. Didn't want to. Felt I owed it to them.
I feel like you and Jared are like auditioning.
All right, explain to Rhett.
Explain to Rhett your
impassioned. Oh, really?
No, people have heard
this. Oh, you're afraid
before.
To now because you've got a real life screenwriter on
because
the phone.
Because Rhett said he was going to like refrain from picking his favorite movie lines to go with the more popular ones. What is the best movie line ever in your mind, Rhett?
Okay, the best movie line of all time was written by Woody Allen, and he's riding, it's from the movie Manhattan, he's riding in a taxi cab with Diane Keaton, and he says to her the following from the back of the taxi cab, "You look so beautiful, I can hardly keep my eyes on the meter."
And that's
to me,
outstanding.
That's like, it's pretty great, right? I mean, who has not been, you know, staring at that meter entire time in a taxi cab? Anyway, that's my favorite line. So, but I don't want to put it in the poll because I will lose, and I intend to win this time. Jared is in deep trouble. So,
my favorite is from Jaws, the "you're going to need a bigger boat" line. That was outstanding.
Why did you draft it?
Because I had to go Caddyshack, like I told you.
All right, we'll get the graphic up. Rhett, thanks so much for doing this.
You're not going to tell him about Field of Dreams.
No, we'll do it another time.
All right. Well, I told Rhett we're going to take him out for a beer sometime. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
You cool with that, Rhett?
Yeah, you guys are my favorite show, so keep after it.
Well, thank you so much for that, and best of luck with the new release of Deadpool 2, Once Upon a Deadpool.
And you know we'd all look pretty good in pirate costumes.
Yeah, keep that in the back of your mind, man.
Or zombie makeup.
Listen,
hey, that
extras
too.
Are a dime a dozen, and we're willing to work for a dime. See you, Rhett.
Thanks, Rhett.
Thanks so much, guys.
Talk to you soon. Rhett Reese, screenwriter, joining us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's CoulterTempe.com, Coulter on Camelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com. The debate remains. Are the Cardinals doing the right thing by playing Josh Rosen for the last 3 weeks of the season? We'll get into that and more Cardinals talk next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford Poll Question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. What do you think about the Suns' 123-119 OT loss to the Clippers? Your choices. Nice to see some effort and improvement. They've lost 9 in a row, a loss is a loss, or they might have something with these 4 rookies. You had to pick one of those as your biggest takeaway of the 3.
I'm not voting. You vote. I'm done voting.
Then you don't get a sticker.
You can vote.
And if you don't vote, you can't complain. That's the old saying, right?
That is always what, and that is the truth.
I'm going to say, nice to see some effort and improvement.
That's where I would go.
47% say that. 46% say a loss is a loss.
But the minute you put that down on paper, you're realizing you're settling for something you shouldn't be settling.
Yeah, you're enabling.
Yeah, you're enabling. That's exactly right.
You sound like DeAndre Ayton in that quote.
Yeah.
Feels like we won. That's today's Sanderson Ford poll question. You can cast your vote. It's on the front page of ArizonaSports.com.
I think these are valuable reps for a young rookie. Talking to Byron, he and I talk all the time. You know, it's so many different looks that Josh needs to see. And I think what we need to do as coaches is make sure that we put him in position to be successful, rather standpoint of moving the pocket, boots, sprint outs, those kind of things to try to alleviate some of the hits.
That's Steve Wilks, from his interview with us yesterday here on Bickley and Murata, talking about the subject, and Bick asked him about, have you thought maybe of, relegating Josh Rosen to second string status at this point, considering all of the challenges that are in front of this offense? And when you look at it, the biggest thing that the Cardinals can accomplish for the rest of this season, Bick, is getting Josh Rosen out of the year healthy, right?
Yeah, that's what I
think. You don't
want
to get him injured. He has taken a large number of hits. He's been sacked. His play has been inconsistent. I don't think anything out of the ordinary for a rookie quarterback, especially with limited resources around him.
I'm sorry. How did we miss? Aha!
How did we miss? Aha!
Try to assume.
Technically not in the movie.
Oh, it's only in the...
in the closing credits, right?
Is well, that
part
right?
of the movie. Aha!
Yeah, we missed it. We miss things every week. I went with shampoo is better.
Sure
stupid.
Was stupid.
Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to. I was just... somebody tweeted us that and I went, of course, I didn't miss that.
I didn't even go with my favorite line from Kindergarten Cop.
Which is...
you're supposed to be the one cleaning up the paint. You're supposed to be the one reading the stories about bears that go shopping.
It's not a tumor.
Where was I? But the
get
biggest
to
thing,
the chopper! That's a Gambo and a Schwarzenegger together. Get to the chopper! Okay, my brain just short-circuited. Literally, Schwarzenegger went into Gambo, and my brain just went bzzz.
It's short-circuited.
I don't think anything's left. Schwartz.
Schwartz dueling Gambos as Schwarzenegger.
Schwartzadoro.
Give me a topic.
Yeah, like what? Give him a topic.
Famous Diamondback first baseman.
Travis Lee. Lyle Overbay. Rubio Durazo.
That might be my funniest bit all year long. That was outstanding. Well done. Right off the cuff, too.
Adam LaRoche.
Instead of dueling Gambos.
Paul Goldschmidt.
What's that word? Swashbuckling Schwarzeneggers.
I can't do Schwarzenegger. That was pretty painfully apparent. Get down! you did Lyle Overbay. Your Rubio Durazo was transcendent, Vinny.
Oh,
love that.
Show's going to kill me.
Uh-huh.
All right, so back on track.
Yeah.
The best.
How do we go back to talking about football
really.
Now?
The best thing that the Cardinals can accomplish.
No, we're talking Cardinals.
What'd I say?
Football.
Right.
At the top of their priority list is has to be getting Josh Rosen through the rest of this season healthy.
To me, once again, the minute Josh Rosen starts to regress is the minute you need to take a long, hard look at what you're doing here. Okay? I think that moment happened last Sunday against Detroit. The inaccuracies got worse. The late throws, the late progressions, they increased. That, to me, is a sign of a guy who has been hit once too often, who has had way too much chaos and instability from voices in his headset to offensive linemen in front of him. I'm tapping out. I think Josh Rosen learned a lot, and I think it's time to watch from the sidelines. Steve Wilkes said there's no such thing as a bad rep. I disagree. A rep when an ACL goes snap when you're 3-10 is a bad rep. And I would also say that you can watch and learn when you're a smart quarterback. Patrick Mahomes seems to have learned a lot watching last year.
Yeah, I mean, we'll never know what he would have looked like in that offense as a rookie, but again, that was the plan for the Cardinals, and that's this juxtaposition of when is a rep a good rep, and that seems to be the line that a lot of these teams use at a certain point of the season. Every rep is a good rep. Well, it came up in the Chargers game when there was just three quarters of garbage time, basically, and Josh Rosen was in there handing off. They weren't really trying to give him the experience of seeing all these different looks in the passing game. And if every rep is a good rep, then why was Josh Rosen on the bench for the first 2.5 games?
It doesn't make any sense.
That's something I just can't. I do see a shred of, I get it. the more times you do things, going back to the practice take on the Chicago Bulls, the more times you do things, the better you're going to get at it.
Correct.
But if you're surrounding Josh Rosen right now in these valuable reps, in quotation marks, with players that aren't a part of your future, and that's the case in a lot of that's the reality for the Cardinals. Is a lot of these guys that are suiting up are not going to be with this team next year.
You need to know when to walk away from the table. Now, I'm not a gambler, but you use the whole thing. If you knew you're going to win every hand at blackjack, why would you leave the table?
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, in the NFL, you've got to know when it's time to pick up your hand and go. Cardinals, according to Over the Cap, will have about $70 million in cap space, the seventh highest figure of spending money available in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You have that to look forward to. As of right now, they have the number one pick in the NFL draft. You have that to look forward to. You can trade that to a team that needs a quarterback, although I'm not sure there's one out there that's really going to blow people away. Doesn't it just figure that a guy like Kyler Murray wins the Heisman and maybe a guy that you could trade the number one pick for, except he's going to go play for Oakland? He's that good of an athlete. It's kind of buzzard's luck, if you will. But with all that good stuff coming forward, you have got to make sure this quarterback gets out of the year in one piece, in my opinion. And I think I've seen signs of regression from him. We have not seen a good full game from him, but I don't think that's his fault. I don't think he's a slow starter and a guy who only plays better in the fourth quarter. I think he's been conspired against by a lot of factors. I don't need to see any more. And with all due respect, I'm not sure I respect the judgment being shown here. What are we dealing with here? We're dealing with a rookie offensive coordinator, a rookie defensive coordinator, a rookie head coach. What do they know about this?
And a rookie-laden offensive line. I mean, it comes full circle, okay? And Steve Wilks and a lot of our listeners have pointed this out, too. I mean, he does have like mantras that he will repeat. And one of those things that we've heard for 14 weeks now is the phrase putting players in position to be successful.
Yeah.
I can strongly argue that by putting Josh Rosen on the field with this cast of characters, you're doing the exact opposite.
Exactly.
You can learn from the sidelines, like you said.
Exactly. I don't think any of the looks he is going to see from this point forward are going to be anything worth seeing. In fact, I think they'll be quite terrifying, to be honest. So you know what? Finish with the top three pick. If you get number one, trade it down to a team that needs a quarterback. Draft yourself Nick Bosa and move on.
What do you think of, and I heard Bernsey bring this up, that he had been approached by some people on social media that say the Cardinals should still be looking for a quarterback in the draft in the first round.
No, I disagree.
See, and I've been a little bit more harsh and a little bit less apt to, be impressed by Josh Rosen this year than you have, but I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can't spend a high first-round draft pick 2 years in a row on a quarterback.
No, that would be insane, wouldn't it? That wouldn't make any sense at all. Now, if this was a year where there was one out there that was like John Elway, then maybe you'd consider it. But no, you just...
I still don't know if that's the case.
Maybe you wouldn't. So much of what I judge quarterbacks for, young quarterbacks, really it's about demeanor and decisions that they make. And for the most part, I've been very happy with Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
The inaccuracy, I did not count on. But at the same time, he's been put in a very difficult position. Very difficult.
Do you blame all his turnovers on poor decision-making, or do you blame it on his inaccuracy?
I would say...
Or timing.
I would say probably a little of everything, Jarrett. Last week, it was throwing the ball late, although he could have had a little help. He's sailed some passes. He's had a couple of chuck and duck throws that resulted in interceptions and all of that stuff. I don't think he'll do that again. I really don't. I think he's the type of kid who's going to learn from that. And I think he's the type of kid who, now that he's played a little bit, probably will benefit from just decompressing and getting out of the weekly preparation mode to understanding and absorbing the lessons he's already learned.
Very well said.
Thank you.
Very well said. Coming up next, a tweet from a sportscaster in Houston, Texas that might upset some fans, some hockey fans in the Valley. We'll tell you about it next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata, Song of the Day. brought to you by Vital Four Men. Sometimes you want to hit rewind. Now you can with Vital Four Men. Find out more at vitalfourmen.com.
All right, today's song of the day from Godsmack, Moon Baby. In honor of Steph Curry, who doesn't believe he's been to the moon.
I feel like
we are getting inundated. Nobody wants us to talk sports. Everybody wants us just to goof around like we do.
So not just Steph Curry, but I put it on, do you believe that man landed on the moon? 670 of our listeners voted, and 14% of them say no.
Wow. Somebody tweeted me.
Somebody said, crap, I accidentally hit no.
Somebody tweeted me and said, well, why have we never been back? Because there's nothing on it.
I think they went twice, to be fair.
I get the feeling that
the moon is the cause of lunacy.
Oh, boy.
Lunar, lunatics. See how that fits together?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a feeling that song is in Wolf's iPod.
Yes.
He's a big Godsmack guy, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Just to update the other polls I put out there. Suns fans, who have you been more impressed with this season, DeAndre Ayton or Rashawn Holmes? 75% Rashawn Holmes. I don't know what that means. And then...
That means three-quarters of the respondents actually voted for Rashawn Holmes.
Right, okay, good. What is the best type of milkshake? Vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, or malted? What do you think's winning?
Chocolate.
Malted.
Chocolate. Nope, chocolate 35%. Vanilla and strawberry tied at 25%.
Hmm. Okay. A lot of great...
Update.
There's a lot of great movie lines we missed out on, too, but we got to get to this story here.
Yeah, we do. Mark Berman is a sports director at Fox 26 in Houston, KRIV-TV. He tweeted out earlier today, NHL sources, Rockets owner Tilman J. Fertitta has met with NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman about a potential of bringing the NHL to Houston. Fertitta has had preliminary talks about buying and relocating the Arizona Coyotes to Houston. Nothing on that happening now. No decisions close. Follow up to that, when contacted by Fox 26 Sports, Fertitta declined to comment, as did Rockets CEO Tad Brown.
Ooh, I don't like that last part one bit. Now, I've been hearing in rumblings about new ownership coming to the Coyotes.
You hinted at it a week ago.
I didn't hear it was about a guy in Houston who wants to rip our hockey team out of here.
Well, remember one of the gut reactions to the news when Seattle was announced as franchise number 32, Coyotes would move to a different division, and everybody's, oh, that's very convenient that they could just move them over and they could play in Houston, and it fits
great
time zone-wise.
So they get to become a major league sports market at our expense. They get all four major professional sports by taking ours. Great.
There is a name in that tweet by Mark Berman that you have to remember. Gary Bettman.
Yeah.
Who, for over a decade now, has fought tooth and nail to keep NHL hockey in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And I know there's uncertainty around this franchise right now, but they're in a lot better place than they were 5 years ago. They're in a lot better place than they were 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And if he fought through all that, if there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and who's to say that there is, I think Gary Bettman is going to continue that fight to keep
great,
hockey in the valley.
Wouldn't it be great if you could find a way to keep ice melted outdoors and play hockey outdoors? Like, slide in a sheet of ice and have the Phoenix Rising and the Coyotes share a venue. Wouldn't that be great?
They have ice rinks that are outside. They have one right by the Suns arena right now.
Yeah, it was right outside of our holiday party.
Yeah.
Last week.
Yeah, it's a little, you're right, but can you do it over the length of a hockey rink? And on top of that.
Look, Vic, we can put people on the moon. We can make it outdoor.
Okay, then let's just talk about this in all seriousness here, okay?
Okay.
The Coyotes, where are they going? They have to get out of Glendale. We know that. They're still hemorrhaging money. They have no future there. We know that. Okay? They're not moving in with the Suns. Suns do not want to partner with them.
No.
Okay? Where are they going?
Somewhere else?
Mm-hmm. somewhere else.
I mean, the Valley is still at the top of their list.
Right. Okay.
Under current ownership.
So if you're talking about maybe going on reservation land, tribal land, well, I think that's the Diamondbacks. I think that's their play. Where are they going to go? ASU wanted to partner with them until they didn't.
That is true.
Robert Sarver has never wanted to partner with them and made it pretty clear. I'm worried about this. That move out of the Pacific, that was the aha moment. Can't get you to do it.
I already did it. We got a lot of response, too, on the movie lines, people suggesting. And you did say it to Rhett when we had Rhett Reese on, that the enormity of this subject was a little overwhelming for somebody
yes.
like me.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was. I mean, we got so many responses.
Uh-huh.
We got a lot of responses for "My name is Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die" from The Princess Bride. Very popular line.
That was a good one.
People love that movie. Got a few for "What's in the Box?"
Ooh,
from Seven.
That's terrible.
Go ahead.
Make my day.
Go ahead.
That was
make
on my
day.
List.
Here's an off the beaten path one from Jordan. "Hey, honey, you think KFC is still open?"
What's that from?
I love Disappointed from Fish Called Wanda, but you've never seen it.
"I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore."
And that comes up on this show like once a week. Stu said he gave us a bunch of them. "It's in the Hole." "I Am Your Father."
That's right.
I almost picked that.
That's a good
from
one.
The Star Wars series.
How about "You Are Undoubtedly the Worst Pirate I've Ever Heard Of"?
I thought for sure you were going to pick
yes,
that one.
Yes, but you have heard of me.
Right.
I was going to do that.
Because you've referenced that one before.
Oh, I mean.
I'm surprised you didn't pick that one. You should have asked him, how is that movie possibly going to work without Jack Sparrow?
I know.
That's the whole movie.
Well, to me, that is the treachery in what he's doing. But the fact that they're going to Deadpool it up, maybe kind of get a little crazy with it, I love that idea. You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like they're going to take Pirates out of the PG-13 variety and move it up to rated R. Now that, you can sign me up for that.
An R-rated pirate movie? We might not ever see Bickley again.
No, you might not.
No, actually, it would be rated R.
Because look at this. You know Disney and their Pirates of the Caribbean ride? Have you ever been on that?
Yeah.
Of course you have. You remember the part where they're selling wenches at market?
Yes.
They took that out of the ride.
Did they really?
Yes, because it's politically incorrect. That's what happened back in the day. That's an accurate portrayal of history. But it's not Disney history.
So disappointed. It's one of my favorite places on earth to be, is in that ride. I love that ride.
Yeah.
There's been times where I ride it like 5 times in a row, like late at night when there's no line.
Seriously?
I'll just keep going back on.
It's outstanding.
I love it.
It's really, really good.
You try to notice different stuff that you never noticed
yeah.
before.
Yeah.
Well, that was interesting.
Wouldn't it have been cool to be... There was a time when the real Jack Sparrow was actually on that ride.
That's
I love
true.
That character so much.
The real Jack
Rhett
Sparrow.
Reese
that's
killing him.
That's kind of a concept, huh?
Yeah, his name is Johnny Depp. Yeah.
Thanks to Bobby Marks for joining us. Thanks to Rhett Reese for joining us. Thanks to you for listening and putting up with us. We always appreciate it. No show tomorrow for Holiday Heroes. We'll be back on Thursday. Burns and Gambo up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We'll see you.
Travis Lee. Lyle Overbay. Rubio Durazo.